This episode of WGW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And when you're thinking about planning a trip to Walt Disney World and you want to have a great trip planned for you, because of course, you know, there's so much into that goes into any trip these days, you know, which resort to stay at, your dining reservations, FastPass Plus, there's so much. Why not have a partner to help you plan all that? MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you do that. In fact, they've got some great agents that are standing by to help you plan that perfect Walt Disney World vacation. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, September 24th, 2014, and this is episode 1400 of WGW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World and host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Matt, I honestly didn't think we'd get past episode 14.
That's why you didn't show up past episode 14.
That's right. I'm not going down with this ship. I'm out of here, baby.
Yeah, I can just see you telling Mary, yeah, this is a new podcast. I gave it three episodes, but, you know, they'll fizzle out by the time I get back.
And then I log back in. Oh, damn, they're still around.
They're still around. Also joining us on today's show, Mike Scopa, blogger for touringplans.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
These books are huge. And me without my Cliff Notes.
Oh.
Timekeeper.
Nope.
Tim.
No, I know. It's Return to Neverland.
You're close. Get it right.
Back to Neverland?
Back to Neverland. Get it right. Damn it right.
On today's show, we're answering your listener emails. We'll start with an email from Tamara from Illinois. Wherein she writes, I love your show and appreciate the information you share with your listeners. That said, I need to correct you on some misinformation regarding the dining plan.
Here we go.
First off, we do not always get the dining plan because when I had tables in Wonderland, we often save more money that way. However, there are cases when the dining plan is the best option. We're going down to Disney over Christmas, arriving on December 19th and leaving December 28th. We have free dining for the entire trip. As you know, room discounts during the holidays are pretty much non-existent, so this is a great deal for us when there will not be other discounts. You also have three kids, all of whom are Disney adults in pricing. We'll be staying at the Grand Floridian. The dining plan is free, so we're getting the equivalent of nearly $305 per day for the dining plan at a time when there will not be room discounts at all. The rack rate, which we would be paying for a room at the Grand during the holidays regardless of free dining's availability, for our stay is $856 per night. This means that in order for us to get the value, so to speak, out of the dining plan for a room discount, we would need a 26% room discount. And that is just not happening that week. It's even the same week that AAA discounts are blacked out. In addition, you keep discussing the exclusions on the dining plan. You're exaggerating this phenomenon because you've never used the dining plan yourselves. Alcohol and specialty drinks are not included anywhere. However, at the vast majority of places, you'll be able to get pretty much whatever you want without worries.
Yep.
That's interesting that she's getting the plan that particular week. Is this like a bounce back thing, Len, or?
No, I don't think so. It's the thing that's available, but is it free dining?
Yeah, free dining the entire trip.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Maybe it might be, you know what it might be? And if Annette was here, she might be able to correct us. She's arriving on the 19th. Maybe it's like one of those deals where arriving on the last day.
Yeah, that's it. It's extending past, yeah.
Yep. Very good. Thank you, Tamara. Appreciate the email. Next email is from Lauren from Austin, Texas. First, I want to say thank you for answering my question about my upcoming honeymoon and my first-time golf-loving fiancé. Second, I have a couple more questions about our trip. My aunt has booked us a room at Old Key West for a week, January 4th through the 11th, 2015. We'll be renting a car because after reading the official guide and listening to what seems like thousands of old podcasts, renting a car is the best bet. My question is, since y'all always suggest driving to every park except for the Magic Kingdom, what do you suggest for that day? The only day we'll be at the Magic Kingdom, we have a dinner reservation at the Flying Fish Cafe at 9 o'clock. Should we park at Epcot and take the TTC over to the Magic Kingdom? and where should we try and sit to see Wishes that evening before running over to catch our reservation for dinner? And should we take the boat or the monorail? P.S. Van Halen rocks.
Woo! All right.
So, Magic Kingdom in the daytime, Flying Fish at 9. Let's start there. Where should they park the car?
They're going to go back to the Magic Kingdom, though, right?
No, it sounds like they're going to try to catch Wishes beforehand. Just where should we try to sit and see Wishes that evening before running over to catch our ADL?
Before. Sorry, I didn't hear that part. Okay.
Yeah.
Where should they park the car?
I mean, here's the thing. In this situation, don't use the car. Just leave the car back at the resort.
Yeah. Are they staying off site?
No, Old Key West.
Oh, yeah. Take Disney Transportation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just – it's – I know we always talk about
the car. Yeah, and then just to the Magic Kingdom. You just take the boardwalk – the bus to the boardwalk from the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
For the Magic Kingdom, after Wishes, bus to the boardwalk, Flying Fish. Then from there – they want to drive.
I think their desire to drive is noble, but I think in this situation, it's probably best to just stick with the buses and –
yeah, and then from there, I mean, you could go Flying Fish to just take a cab from Boardwalk to Old Key West. I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's a good idea, actually. Save them a couple bucks.
Yeah, plus they can both drink during dinner then.
Yep. Next, we have an email from A. Antonio, Cousin Mickey doesn't talk about on the boards. It's been more than 1,000 days since I stepped foot in a Disney theme park. What are some decent reasons for me to go back? Also, it would be awesome if someone could play the devil's advocate and explain why I should not go back, or at least wait a while before I consider going back. Well, you'll save a lot of money in the meantime to save up for when you do go back. That's a good reason not to go back.
There's a lot of construction going on right now. Matt, you've probably seen this. I mean, the Magic Kingdom Central Hub's under construction. A ton of stuff being closed at the studios. Animal Kingdom has construction walls up around Discovery Island and, you know, what used to be Camp Minnie Mickey for Avatar Land. I mean, Downtown Disney's just a mess. They're widening the road.
Only Epcot, pretty much, right? Just Epcot?
That's really
because Food and Wine. So
yeah, they're not going to close it during Food and Wine. But, yeah, I mean, there's just so much construction going on for the next year or so. I mean, the Polynesian, there's so much construction going on that maybe wait until this time next year and see where we're at next year.
It's
do we all want to play devil's advocate? Is that it? No one wants to be the pro go now?
I mean, the reason to go now is because if you haven't been there yet, in 1,000 days, I'm guessing he hasn't been there to see the new Fantasyland, which is pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
And a huge change worth checking out in and of itself. There's a lot. I mean, now the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is open. I mean, it's a big deal in that regard. And the other thing is, if you were to pick to go, like, last minute, obviously, but if you were to go during Food and Wine Festival, or during, you know, a time of the year when there's a special event that's going on that's of interest to you, that can certainly be a good reason to go. But in terms of, like, if you're just focusing on – I mean, there's two reasons to go back. One is something new, and that's new fantasy. And the other reason is because I think the reason why he still listens to this podcast and everything, he's a fan. He wants to go back. It's fun to go back. It's fun to be free. And the good thing about going back is, you know, you get to indulge in what you really, really enjoy. So, you know, saying waiting for another year or two is – said Len, I think everything you said was 100% correct, but obviously you got to wait another year. That's a long time.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, football teams go coming in and out of contention by then.
It's true. A whole another baseball season. The Mets could be National League East champions by this time next year.
Nah.
Sorry,
Jared. It's not going to happen.
All right. Next, we have an email from Patrick from Nashville. In regards to the question about upgrading our tickets before you use it, my wife and I have unused one-day passes from a previous trip that we upgraded as soon as we got to our hotel a couple years back. I would advise that the person with the five-day passes take them to guest services at some place like Downtown Disney or even a hotel concierge and check with them about doing the upgrade the day before they want to go to the parks first. That way, they can get it all squared away and are not fooling around getting the annual pass put together as they're trying to get into the gate. Good advice there. Thank you, Patrick. That was in regards to episode 1373, by the way. Next, we have an email from Marcy from New York from the Mouse Quest podcast. Thank you all for picking my email. Catchy subject line, 1 point. So here's the deal. After searching for weeks on end, I finally secured a dinner reservation for Be Our Guest. Unfortunately, It's only for five, and we have a party of 11. I'm not sure I have the kahunas to ask at the restaurant if we can more than double our party. So how many do you think I could add without coming off as a total nut job?
Gee, if we only knew someone who could do that.
I know, but be our guest is so difficult. What time is the reservation?
She doesn't say.
What I would do is get there as early as possible when dinner seating starts. Was that 4:30, 5 o'clock, something like that? And or 3. It could be something crazy. I think it's 3, right? Dinner starts at 3.
Sure.
Anyway, something crazy. Just go in and immediately say, "Look, you know, I have reservations for a party of 5, and you know, I'd really like to have 11. Is there in?" It's 5 hours from now. Is there any way you can do that? They might say no. And the only reason they would say no is because it's be our guest and they're trying to book every table every night. But the only hope you have is to do that, to give people as much advance notice as possible and beg and plead. At the restaurant, it wouldn't be a problem at all. It's just be our guest.
Yeah, it's funny because the be our guest is – I mean, this is going without saying that I think everyone knows this at this point, how crazy that restaurant is in terms of popularity. I was at the Magic Kingdom earlier the day that I recorded this podcast, and at 10 a.m. there was a line off the bridge already. And I was just telling Marissa, my wife, I said, I cannot justify waiting in a line for literally hours to eat lunch at a place that I'm paying money for. I just – like I'm sure – it is very nice, and I know a lot of people think it's, you know, very, very cool. I just – to me, that just seems like torture.
Agree, Matt. I agree. I mean, it's
I just don't
it's
see
crazy.
It's crazy. It is. That's what it is. Like, I understand, like, all right, 45 minutes before opening, people are going to line up there. That's totally understandable. People do that for almost everything these days. You know, it's certainly Disney World. But hours sitting there, it's the hot sun. They're literally melting over there.
Are the umbrellas out?
No, they were just standing there.
Oh, I thought they had umbrellas. They handed out umbrellas earlier this year.
No, this, not that I saw when I was.
Wow. There.
Anyway, yeah. So good luck, bro. Is the way to is our advice there. Next, we have an email from Britt from Savannah, Georgia. I'm planning my next trip to the world for next May. I realize Disney won't really let you make reservations quite that far in advance, but I'm curious as to what the nightly rate will be for Art of Animation for that time. I'm expecting to see something in the 140 to 150 range for standard Little Mermaid rooms. What's baffling me is that when I try to check availability for any day between now and the end of the year, just for curiosity's sake, it always says that the Little Mermaid rooms aren't available. I run searches for both packages or room only, as suggested in the unofficial guide, but it always says unavailable. Third-party sites yield the same result. What gives? Surely these rooms aren't booked solid for every single date for the rest of your year, or are they? Assuming so, what is the soonest I'll be able to check actual availability for my dates in late May? I'm assuming Disney will probably exclude Art of Animation from whatever spring promotion they run next year, but I'm willing to pay the rack rate for the room only. I just can't seem to find out the rate for them. Any thoughts? One thought I had, Len, I'm not sure if you – you know, like in cruise lines, if you put in like you have a party of four and you want to stay in one stateroom, it will exclude staterooms that you're too large for. Is that maybe the case here?
But in Art of Animation room, you could put four adults in there.
Okay, I don't know how many adults or people. In
yeah, if you put five, it won't show you that. Yeah,
yeah. That's the only thing I can think of, because obviously there are suites there, and maybe the amount of people that she's trying to book is out of the range of the standard rooms. Maybe. The thing I would do, honestly, Britt, and I know they're sponsors, but I mean, I would just go check out a travel agent, like a good Disney travel agent. Obviously, our sponsor is MEN Master Travel, but let them do all that for you. I mean, there's no reason you need to go and do all that.
Yeah, I'm thinking at this point, if you can't find something in May, I mean, Disney's holding back inventory. There's got to be stuff available between.
Yeah, there's got to be something there. And if the system is just being silly, then, you know, let someone else fight with it. Next, we have an email from Paul from Loudonville, New York. Just returned from a Florida trip where we did most things besides Disney, Discovery Cove, SeaWorld, Aquatica, Kennedy Space Center, Universal Studios, including Diagon Alley. We had a great trip and stayed in an all-star home with a party of 12. That worked out perfectly. We had to do something Disney, so we made reservations for 12 of us months in advance to eat dinner at Ohana. We were aware of the construction going at the Polynesian. We arrived 30 minutes early and still waited 40 minutes beyond our reservation for priority seating time. That isn't usual for our large party size. Unfortunately, sorry, that isn't unusual for our large party size. Unfortunately, after we were seated, we were advised by our waitress that there would be a problem with the vent hoods in the kitchen and the grills cannot be used. The chef will cook the meat in another kitchen using skillets. It seemed obvious to me that the problem was the ongoing construction. Mm. While the rest of the food was good, the meat was a big disappointment. Tough and overcooked. Definitely not up to Ohana standards. We were not offered anything in terms of discounts or free drinks. On a positive note, we were still able to watch the Wishes fireworks from the beach despite the construction.
Wishes. Tough and overcooked. That's a shame.
Mike, have you been there since the construction began en masse?
No, not none. And
you did not go last month once?
No.
My God. Can we check if the Earth's tilt has changed in the last
month or so? What does this come to?
All right. Well, that's a concerning report, certainly. Next, we have an email from Emily from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be in the world in December. Emily. What would be the best way to see the decorations at the campsite at Fort Wilderness? We will not have a car. My husband drives for a living, so it's one of the things he loves about Disney, that he can go and not drive.
Just don't go with Matt. Shut up. Because he'll get you lost.
Can't you rent one of those electric cars and go around? Why not?
They're expensive, though. They're like $50 a day.
Well, just do it all day.
Rental cars are cheaper.
Yeah, the carts are great, though.
Quiet, you know.
They are nice. There's no question about it. It's just really pricey. The other thing you could do, if you want to go on foot, you start at the settlement, which is the area that like Hoopty Doo is at and Trails End. And you start walking basically towards the campsite. Or you can actually just hop on the bus, one of the resort buses, until you see a bunch of places that look promising. You see a lot of lights and you hop off and you just start walking around. But the golf cart that Mike was alluding to certainly gives you a lot more flexibility and the option to drive wherever you want, go wherever you want. But, you know, let's assume you're probably going to spend, an hour, maybe two? You know, you're spending – I mean, you're going to drop $50. If that's okay with you, then
I like the bus idea.
I would do it just to be able – because you'd see more decorations.
Yeah.
You'd be able to get around a lot more with that. Plus, you can stop off and have a drink at Crockett's Tavern. Yeah.
Okay.
And then drive the cart.
Woo!
Next email from Tim from Chicago, Illinois. And Tim writes, while I would be super excited for a Star Wars themed land at Disney World, I think this is thinking on a small scale. After all, doesn't one of the biggest money-making franchises ever deserve its own separate park? Think of a fifth gate Star Wars park. I've outlined some ideas below, keeping in mind that a new theme park must have attractions that appeal to a wide range of ages. So here he goes. Each land would represent a Star Wars planet. The monorail could encircle the whole park, connecting it to the TTC and becoming this park's railroad, so to speak. This park's main street will be Coruscant, with shopping and Dex's Diner. The castle of Star Wars Park will be the Jedi Temple, new home of the Jedi Training Academy. Tatooine will feature the Mos Eisley Cantina. Luke's Land Speeders, a ride based on the old Flying Saucers attraction. The Millennium Falcon, a Soarin'-style ride flying with Han and Chewie through the Star Wars universe, including an asteroid field. Hoth will feature Snow Speeders, a Dumbo-style ride seated back-to-back and a full-size AT-S. So if you do AT...
makes it be a typo.
ATS. No, I know it's a smaller one. ST in the middle. Anyway. A carousel of Tauntauns. A 360-degree movie featuring the AT-AT attack from the Empire. Dagobah will feature a Tom Sawyer's Island type of attraction with playgrounds in Yoda's house. A Grand Fiesta Tour-style boat attraction through the swamps of Dagobah. Yavin will feature Rebel Pilot Training, a Buzz Lightyear-style target shooting ride.
Ribbit.
X-Wing Challenge, a Space Mountain-style indoor roller coaster with added elements of projection, TIE Fighters, Star Destroyers, etc. Naboo will feature a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea-style ride featuring Naboo's ocean creatures and the Gungan Underwater City. A Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor-style show featuring droids. He's got a lot of ideas.
But the biggest idea would be where to get the money, because the cost of just putting in the Fantasyland expansion, you know, was probably more than what it cost to build the Magic Kingdom. And then you think about how much did it cost to build Cars Land out there in California Adventure. And then you think about how much it's going to cost to build Avatar Land. And those are only lands. So building an entire theme park also involves things like the parking lot, a whole bunch of things. So
infrastructure.
You know, it's very – I really don't expect to see another theme park. I really don't.
No,
at least down there. No, I just
no.
Yeah.
Expansion maybe. A little, you know, expansion here and there, and maybe something other than a theme park, some kind of entertainment kind of center or whatever. And I mean, that's maybe that's why we're seeing Disney Springs. And you know, it's just the one idea that's missing is, you know, where does Disney find the money for another mortgage theme park?
Well, they're making money hand over fist right now, so that should be a problem for them if they save it up.
Well, you think so, but think about this, Matt. Think about all the construction, how much that costs, and also the operational costs. I'm sure they're doing well, but you know, I'm sure that their margin is not as good this year as it might have been in the past because of all the money that's going up because of the construction.
Forgive me if I don't lose any sleep over their okay. financial situation.
All right.
Next, we have an email from Ashley from Davenport, Iowa. Listening to your recent shows about the insane Frozen meet and greets and possible overhaul to the Norway Pavilion got me thinking. Couldn't Disney just do a Frozen overlay at Blizzard Beach? Since Frozen is so huge and, according to its fans, could almost merit its own park, this could possibly fit the bill. What are your thoughts?
Let it go.
Enough of the Frozen.
Well, yeah,
Frozen out.
Yeah, really.
The water parks are the water parks are just, you know, secondary, really. It's not really going to appease the masses, so to speak.
I just wonder what we'll be talking about as far as Frozen goes next year at this time. Who knows? It'll be all over the place. Isn't she going to frost the castle this Christmas season?
Yep.
Great.
Yep. The thing is, Frozen is a huge phenomenon. There's no question about it. But let's not forget also that at one point Stitch was a huge phenomenon. Tinkerbell was a huge phenomenon even before that. So, now granted, they didn't get – well, one of them got an attraction based on himself.
And we're still complaining about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are – I'm guessing somebody, you know, sees a larger potential here, clearly based on the crazy lines. I don't – or maybe this is just Disney learning their lesson because, you know, remember when Tinkerbell was huge a couple of years ago, you still could not meet her. There was no attractions based on her other than Peter Pan's flight. So they were really starved for it. With Stitch, they built the attraction, and they obviously put up a lot of character meet and greets. But, you know, this is – with Frozen, it's on a whole different level now.
Mm.
Next, we have an email from Keith from North Carolina.
Keith.
I am curious whether the glow with the show ears have been a success. When they first came out, I thought they were incredible. And I love the YouTube videos where they obviously give them to every audience member. However, since they come out, I have heard nothing about them, and I'm curious how many pairs you'll typically see in a show. If it's not enough people, the effect is lost. Would you consider these successful?
Well, I got a chance to see them firsthand last year, Matt, and we went to the you weren't there. I went for the podcast to the Not So Scary, and they handed them out. And I think they're $26 a piece, something around there. Real, real pricey. And I really didn't see that many. I would say maybe 10%, if that many, percent of the audience watching Wishes or Hello Wishes or whatever that night were wearing them.
I went to Fantasmic the other night, and we were in the second show, so the theater wasn't even full. And, yeah, I saw the dude come up the aisle and was like, oh, yeah, those things are still here, huh? And, yeah, I mean, a couple people had them, but it's like the same percentage of people that buy, like, the glow wands and all the other things that just, you know, that blink and... The effect, unfortunately, he's totally right. The effect is way cool when you have a vast majority, but that only ever happens when they're literally giving them away.
I saw a large chunk at Osborne Lights last year. I went to one of the Osborne Lights, and there was a lot of them, and it really did look cool. But that's the only time I remember seeing that many that I made note of it.
Cool. Time for our last question of the day, and that means, I guess, Mr. Newell, three emails to choose from. One gets read today, the other two back in the email queue to be answered later. You ready, Mike?
Let's go.
Put that water bottle away. A little story about Christmas and the VIP tour. Thanks to you all.
Is it thanks to you all or thanks to y'all?
No, thanks to you all, properly said.
And one day he was shooting at some... Oh.
I'm going to go with the water bottle question.
Ooh, the water bottle.
Last email today is from Jennifer from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I'm down to go.
Howdy, folks.
Plans for upcoming trip, and my 10-year-old daughter said, are we going to go on that ride where I told you to put your water bottle away? remembering quite distinctly being reprimanded by her. I replied, "You mean Ellen's Energy Adventure?" Turns out she's a fan. Is there a ride, show, etc. that surprisingly your child, spouse, or significant other is a fan of that you head to simply to make them happy? Are there any attractions that you have grown to appreciate because they are beloved by someone close to you? My wife loves, I mean, not that I'm opposed to it, but she loves CTA. We cannot go to the Magic Kingdom without going on the People Mover to go check that out. So there's, again, it's not like I hate it or anything, but that's a certain one.
Anna really likes the Carousel of Progress.
It was closed this week.
What? No, they're probably updating the last scene.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Frozen.
You'll see a fifth theme park before you see that.
Yeah, really.
I'm trying to think if there's any other attractions. Newell, is there anything that Mary really likes?
No. I drag her around everything.
Wow. I think in my case, I really can't pick one. There are just so many, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to just pick one.
Yeah, there's not a classic. Say we were in the Magic Kingdom, and my wife wanted to see the new parade, and it was like a bazillion degrees. It was like 1 o'clock only, and I was like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I really don't want to see the stupid parade. I just want to go home and go in the air conditioning and go in the pool. But because I'm a loving husband, I said, okay, we'll do it. And we did it. But that was a one-timer thing. I think now she's safe to never see it again unless the temperature is below 80 degrees.
Yeah.
No?
No.
I guess that's about it. So, yeah, no, we have very easygoing spouses.
Pretty much.
True.
All righty. Well, that'll do it for
Laurel likes, Laurel likes Living with the Land. But I like Living with the Land, too, so.
Let's make believe.
Yeah, it's a good
tiny little scene.
Very cool. Well, don't forget this episode of WDW Today has been sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And whether you're going to Walt Disney World in the next 1,000 days or 10 days or whenever you want to go to Walt Disney World, in fact, when you're saying to yourself, I want to get back there, well, MEI and Mouse Travel is here to help you plan that perfect trip because they are a fee-free agency. In fact, Disney pays them, not you, so it costs you absolutely nothing. Zip, zero, nada. To use their services, they're here to help you. Check them out right now, mousefantravel.com. Hey, also, don't forget, we have our next live show this Sunday.
On
September 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Let's talk Disney World together and discuss everything going on. Man, there's so much going on these days. And you know what? This email queue, it's for suckers, unless you're listening, and then we appreciate you listening every week. But you can call in live on the live show and get your questions, thoughts, comments, whatever's on your mind, really, about Walt Disney World. We want to hear from you. So give us a call and join us for it. It'll be a lot of fun. Sunday, September 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. For Alenta, so Mike Sopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hodgman. See you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.